This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Earlier this month, the Defense Department decided that the Purple Heart will not be awarded to troops who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. Originally created by George Washington to recognize distinguished service, for many years now, the Purple Heart has honored soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who suffer physical wounds in combat. This month's decision calls PTSD a secondary effect caused by witnessing or experiencing a traumatic event. Opponents argue that a mental wound is just as real as one that bleeds, that the medal could help reduce the stigma attached to post-traumatic stress disorder and help more sufferers seek treatment. Others believe just as passionately that PTSD is not the same and that the current standards should not be changed. Later in the hour, the 3D effect from mass digital photography, but first the Purple Heart and post-traumatic stress disorder. And we want to hear from military members of the audience, vets and active duty, should PTSD qualify for the Purple Heart. 800-989-8255 is the phone number. The email address is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. We begin with Kelly Kennedy, a staff writer for Army Times, who's here with us in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And this came to public attention last spring when the Secretary of Defense, then and now, Robert Gates, visited Fort Bliss, Texas, and said he would consider whether the Purple Heart should go to PTSD sufferers. What happened after that?
Well, basically, they started a conversation. It turned into a big to-do on the blogosphere, essentially, where people were arguing back and forth, should people get the Purple Heart for post-traumatic stress disorder? And basically, people were arguing back and forth that it was, that it's like you said, it's absolutely a wound of war. But then people were saying that it wasn't the same as bleeding on the battlefield, and therefore it would denigrate it somehow to give the Purple Heart to someone with a mental disorder as opposed to an actual wound that bleeds on the battlefield.
And how was this decision made at the Pentagon?
Well, they decided that it was more of a disease than an injury. There's a couple things going on there. With the gunshot wound, you can see it immediately, so it's pretty easy to say, This is related to combat. It's a combat-related injury. With post-traumatic stress disorder, for it even to be diagnosed as that, the symptoms need to be there for a few months. So for them to award a Purple Heart, it would have to be way after the fact. So essentially they said that it was an injury, that it was a disease, and it's not intentionally caused by the enemy. It's as a gunshot wound would be, so it doesn't qualify for a Purple Heart.
Secondary effect, and I think there was some argument that it could also happen in non-combat situations, a traffic accident, say.
Sure, but if you were wounded in Iraq in a traffic accident, that wouldn't be eligible for a Purple Heart either, so I'm not really sure if that would be a good defense. I guess the argument with post-traumatic stress disorder is if it's designated that it's combat-related, then it should be considered a combat injury as opposed to something like malaria as a disease that you could get no matter where you're at. So,
and who actually made the decision? Was it the Secretary of Defense?
It was David S.C. Chu, who handles health affairs or did handle health affairs for the Defense Department, and then the Secretary of Defense agreed with his decision.
Now, after years of criticism that they were not paying enough attention to this problem, the Defense Department and the Veterans Administration have lately bolstered their capacity to diagnose and treat PTSD. How did that factor into the decision?
Well, that's another big part of the argument is if you say that post-traumatic stress disorder is worthy of a Purple Heart, then they're saying that that might help get rid of some of the stigma that's attached to the disease. And that's actually, it actually played into the argument on the blogosphere was that there's such a stigma already attached to it that's why they were saying it would denigrate. Like some people don't necessarily believe that it's a real injury or that people are faking it or something. You can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes a problem.
I think people who are not in the military might remember that scene in the film Patton where a soldier with what was then called shell shock, battlefield fatigue, said he couldn't go back into combat, was slapped by General Patton, which caused a great brouhaha in his career. But that's the sort of attitude that this is somehow perceived by some people as a form of cowardice?
It's getting better, but certainly that does still exist. I mean, it's funny if you go out with the troops that have seen a lot of combat, they believe in it. But if you go out with the troops that haven't necessarily, it's harder to make that point that it does exist.
We're talking with Kelly Kennedy of the Army Times about the PTSD and the Purple Heart. If you're in the military, or if you were, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Jason's on the line. Jason calling us from Rochester, New York.
Hi, Neil. I'm a Gulf War veteran. I'm 38 years old, and I waited until I was 37 to go get help for PTSD. And I can tell you that it has had a dramatic effect on my life, and that anyone who thinks that it doesn't rape the Purple Heart, your guest there just said, you know, it's not intentionally caused. It's absolutely intentionally caused. We have troops that do nothing but specialize in psychological warfare. But the main reason I told your screener is that I think that they deny giving it the Purple Heart because then it legitimizes PTSD and it forces the military and the VA to then have to take that person on as far as treatment for the rest of their life for compensation for stuff like that.
Well, tell us about that, if you would, Kelly Kennedy. Does the Purple Heart convey benefits as well as recognition?
Well, if you get the Purple Heart for post-traumatic stress disorder, it certainly makes it combat-related. That's known. If your PTSD is bad enough that it forces you out of the military on a medical discharge, it's automatically 50% in benefits. So I guess you could make that argument, but at the same time, people are being being medically discharged for PTSD, and they are being awarded that. So
would they get any additional benefits if they got the Purple Heart?
It would just be proof, I guess.
Well, my point on that, Neil, was that the VA will, and I can tell you because I've gone through the VA system, will do what it can to, for the rest of your life, say, okay, well, now you're getting treatment. We're going to reduce what you deserve as a result of this PTSD. PTSD isn't going to go away. Nightmares I have aren't going to go away. The social problems I have, there might be times where it's better or worse, but it's going to be with me forever. And like I said, adding the Purple Heart to it would force the military and the VA to look at it, like you said, as an injury and not something that, you know, I acquired, like schizophrenia or something. So I'll let you get on to the next caller, but great show. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jason, very much for the call. And, well, let's introduce two people with different opinions on this subject. And let's introduce D.J. Skelton, an Army captain with the Purple Heart. He's with us from member station KUSP in Santa Cruz, California. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And with us here in Studio 3A also is Jason Forrester, Director of Policy and Co-Director of the National Guard Program of Veterans at Veterans for America in Washington, D.C. He's with us here in the Studio 3A. Nice to have you with us as well.
Thank you, Neil.
And D.J. Skelton, let's begin with you. I guess in response to the call we just heard, a veteran who has PTSD and says this is absolutely a wound of war.
You know, it's interesting. I think there's a difference of understanding between what is a wound and what is a mental illness, whether you talk about a clinical definition or that. There's no question that leaving the country and moving into an environment that is hostile in nature, as many of us have done for this nation, in itself is a traumatic event, being away from our families for so long, let alone being in an environment in which every moment there's someone close by that wants to take your life is traumatic as well. That's not a normal event, and your body will react to that mentally and sometimes physically. And that traumatic stress, I would venture to say that every single service member that deploys suffers from some type of level of stress. But
PTSD is a specific diagnosis.
That's right, as a mental illness. And I think the differentiation the argument that's being made now is George Washington's original intent with the awarding of the Purple Heart specifically states in that order those who have shed blood. From the enemy will be recognized from all of their fellow countrymen from doing that. So in that sense, we're talking about a physical injury that has been sustained by a direct enemy, and that was the award of the qualification of the original intent that's been preserved for so many centuries of the Purple Heart. There's no question amongst any of us that even without being physically wounded like I was, there is stresses on the body that decay and deteriorate to the point where one is diagnosed as having a mental illness called the post-traumatic stress disorder. And that needs definite clinical intervention and definitely needs help, and that isn't going to go away. My nightmares are not going to go away the rest of my life. My anxieties are not going to go away the rest of my life. But I don't think that should take away from the original intent of George Washington of why we had a recognition. There's a big difference between standing in front of an enemy that wants to take my life and living, which is a for many of our
service. And I don't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to give Jason Forrester a chance to present the other side.
No, I think Captain Skelton makes a very good point. I draw from his point that we know that there are incredible negative consequences of sending our troops into combat. One of the positive aspects of the conversation that we're having today is it helps to educate the population in general about the various needs that have been created as a result of the way the all-volunteer force has been used during the post-9/11 period. There have been incredible accomplishments. There's been incredible valor, honoring of service on the battlefield. But at the same time, the way that our country has used our military, it has resulted in incredibly negative consequences for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of soldiers. I don't think that until we have some black and white test of what is a mental illness and what does a mental illness look like and is there a blood test for mental illness, then yes, we'll never satisfy some of the concerns about the legitimacy, because there certainly are some concerns about people who are faking psychological problems. On the other hand, we know that a very high percentage, according to some studies, as many as half of the people who have post-combat psychological problems continue to grapple those problems without having them discussed. So bringing this into the neighborhood of a legitimate wound of war, as Secretary Gates has said, as Secretary Admiral Mullen, among others, have said, helps to enlighten the debate and make us get closer to the point where we can decide if it does deserve the Purple Heart.
We'll continue talking about the Purple Heart and PTSD with D.J. Skelton, a captain in the U.S. Army, and also with Jason Forrester, Director of Policy and Co-Director of the National Guard Program at Veterans for America. We have another question for Kelly Kennedy of Army Times as well, so if you would all stay with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, we want to hear from our military listeners today. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. This is NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. At the beginning of the year, the Pentagon decided it would not award the Purple Heart, the honor given to those wounded or killed in enemy action, to war veterans who suffer from PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder, because it is not a physical wound. We're talking with Captain D.J. Skelton. He fought in Iraq, where he was wounded in the Second Battle of Fallujah. We're also speaking with Jason Forrester, Director of Policy and Co-Director of the National Guard Program at Veterans for America. We want to hear from military listeners today, active duty or vets. Should PTSD qualify for the Purple Heart? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Kelly Kennedy, the Army Times, also with us here in Studio 3A. Before we let you go, we just announced that decision was made at the beginning of the year. Any probability that the Defense Department is going to revisit that decision anytime soon?
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like this was a pretty final decision for the time being.
For the time being, the Defense Department, having made such a decision, normally does not turn around and revisit the same question for numbers of years.
Well, it does sound like they're done with it for a while. Yeah.
For a while. Okay. Kelly, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank
we appreciate you.
You
coming in. Let's see if we get another caller on the line. And let's go to, and I'm sorry, we've lost that. Let's go to, this is David. David with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Wonderful show.
Thank you.
The issue of post-traumatic stress disorder in the VA, which was being just mentioned by the caller earlier, there's a preferential treatment group for the recipients of the Purple Heart. They get a higher level of priority, and that would be a benefit to people with PTSD. It would bring to the forefront the fact that the majority of the PTSD veterans really don't seek out treatment as they should. I am a veteran of 12 years and was in the 82nd Airborne Division myself, and there are people that are out there that are ashamed of that. And there are wounds that you can't see. I mean, imagine the traumatic brain injuries that are going on across Iraq from IEDs. No particular blood on the battlefield, but no less a wound. Is the Purple Heart being awarded for that?
What do you say to that, DJ Skelton?
You know, I think the PTSD amongst all of us, it's interesting. A theme that I've heard so far with all, to include the last caller, is the stigma of the U.S. military. And I think there's a correlation being made that I kind of want to stop that train of thought when it comes to not awarding the PTSD to, or the Purple Heart, to those that only suffer from PTSD or diagnosed with PTSD, and the military's stigma, or the stigma within the military, that stepping up and saying, hey, I'm having a hard time dealing with this post-trauma of being deployed and what's happened to me in combat, as being a negative and being punishable, is not the case. Are there examples of it throughout the military? Yes, there are, but not to the extent at all, and nor is it a majority of what it used to be like in the Vietnam War or previous major conflicts. I think across the military, and I can only speak for the U.S. Army, across the U.S. Army, there is a huge difference on support and praise amongst the ranks and the chain of commands, and the allowing and facilitating the environment of soldiers that are having a hard time adjusting, stepping up and saying, I need help. And we're not kicking them out of the Army. We're keeping them in. Right. We're rehabilitating them.
Right, but it influences their ability for promotion. It also influences their ability to interact with their peers. It does create a stigma. It just does. You say it's a mental illness. Mental illness creates a stigma.
Jason Forrester?
The ability to interact and be promoted is definitely affected.
Jason Forrester, I think David is right. There is a stigma.
Yeah, well, and back to Captain Skelton's point. I mean, I think it's a question of how you look at it. Have improvements been made? Yes. How far do we have to go? I would answer that with a long ways to go. And what I say is backed up by what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, bravely said a year ago at a session here in Washington, D.C., at a Center for a New American Security speech that he gave, his first public address, when he said that he will not allow to happen after Iraq and Afghanistan what happened after Vietnam. To have that come from the top man in the military sends an incredibly constructive signal throughout the ranks. But you also have to look behind what he's saying, and what he has said even recently when he, Admiral Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, has specifically said that there needs to be sophisticated one-on-one screening for everyone who comes back from combat. As he describes it, we have sophisticated screening for the physical wounds, but we do not have a commensurate level of screening for psychological wounds. This comes straight from the man in charge of the military.
And how does the Purple Heart change that?
The Purple Heart would change this in the sense that if we were to come to an agreement that it was a legitimate wound that deserved the Purple Heart, then that would certainly address the question that it is not a real wound, that there are quote-unquote lesser heroes. That's certainly something that a myth that needs to be busted as well.
Is
if people come back from combat and they're having trouble adjusting to civilian life, it's not a matter of somebody slapping them around like General Patton did, or telling them to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Some people will be able to pull themselves back together, but that's not the case for probably the majority of people. They will need help, and they will need a lot more help than they've been getting. I was in Fort Drum, New York, a year ago, the most heavily used brigade in the U.S. Army of the 10th Mountain Division. People were having to wait 2 months after having self-reported psychological problems to have an appointment on base.
Okay. David, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you very much.
So long. Let's go now to Brian. Brian's with us from Colorado Springs.
Hey, Neil. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sort of in between on this one, but I'm going to go with the captain. I say no, but not for the same reasons. One, I have a Purple Heart, and I also have PTSD. As a matter of fact, that's where I'm at now, waiting to see the doctor. But it's such a separate issue. It's an emotional thing, and it's not so much the intent of what Washington had, because actually his intent for the award was not for wounds.
It was for distinguished service.
Correct. And that's actually what it says on the back of the little medal they gave me. The PTSD, I always call it my burden to bear. But the last speaker was correct about Fort Drum. Even here at Fort Carson, once I went to the doctor and reported my issues, it took 6 months for them to find me a doctor to go to, and now I actually go to an Air Force doctor. But again, I say no, just, and it's a matter of tradition, but if you even look at the Army regulation, it took us forever to realize concussions warrant the Purple Heart. I mean, people didn't even know that.
And traumatic brain disorder, or TMI, traumatic brain injury, which has been described as the signature wound of the war in Iraq.
Yeah, correct. And I have that as well, and I've been back about a year, and they just finally hooked me up with the doctor for that. So it's not been pleasant, but...
What distinction do you draw? It's just a tradition in your mind. The fact that if you bleed, it's a Purple Heart. If you don't, it's not.
No, it's not the bleeding. I just go with the tradition, just for the fact that I guess like a lady from the Army Times met is the immediacy of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is extremely hard to go back. My issue was I don't want another award. I just wanted help. And, I'd rather the Army focus on that than the award.
Well, let's get a response from Jason Forrester.
Yeah, well, I don't think I could have put it any better than the gentleman just did, that people won't help, people deserve help. And as a country, we have a sacred obligation to ensure that those who come home for combat get all the help they need. And I know a lot of people can easily sign up to that statement, but when we start drilling down into what exactly that means, when we send a high percentage of our force... As listeners know, we have an all-volunteer military. As General Casey, the Chief of Staff of the Army, has described it, we have an all-volunteer army that is going through a long war. The natural consequence of that is multiple deployments with oftentimes inadequate time at home, which has the consequence of greatly raising the psychological burdens, the psychological wounds of war. These findings come straight from the Army itself. People can go to the veteransforamerica.org website and find various reports that the Army has put out, which basically says the deleterious effects of extension of tours, of multiple tours, are obvious. And then at the same time, when we have a situation where we continue to have an inadequate number of doctors and professionals who are helping soldiers readjust, thank God there are some improvements that have been made, because Lord knows what it would look like if we hadn't had these improvements. But we have so far to go compared to what a standard of care that these service members
and
deserve.
I'm not hearing Captain Skelton disagree with any of that. All he's saying is that it should not be recognized by the Purple Heart.
Well, no, and I agree with that in the sense that we need to make sure that the wound is a legitimate wound of war before we award one of our highest medals of distinguished service for that. I see this as an incremental process. It took more than a decade after the Vietnam War for us to even understand the acronym PTSD we now so often repeat, which in itself is inadequate to describing what are the psychological consequences of war. Mm-hmm. So I think this could be a discussion later on where it'll be clearer, but it will take time.
Brian, good luck with the doctor.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate it. Let's see if we can go now to Darren. Darren with us from Fort Richardson in Arkansas.
Hello. Yes, my comment is that, to me, this isn't an issue of whether or not PTSD is a real injury or whether or not they're stigmatized. I think both of that is true. To me, as a captain, I'm a mobilized reservist, and I'm serving in a post-9/11 world. I volunteered to serve this military after 9/11, knowing that I could be deployed. And if I were injured here in support of the war on terrorism here at Fort Richardson, Alaska, I'm not entitled to get the Purple Heart, no matter how grave my injury. And that's because that's not the medal for that type of injury. And the Purple Heart is a medal specifically designed for physical injuries sustained on the battlefield. And I just don't think PTSD meets that criteria. Just like even if I lost a limb here in support of the war on terrorism back home, I don't get the Purple Heart.
Well, it's unlikely that diagnosis existed when I think it was Douglas MacArthur who changed the definition of the Purple Heart to be for wounds suffered in combat.
Well, I don't disagree with that. It just my gut feeling on the Purple Heart is when people see a soldier wearing the Purple Heart, they expect that soldier sustained physical injury and spilled blood, like the other captain said earlier in the show.
Well, DJ Skelton, is that part of your argument, that this is what people's expectation of it is?
I don't know, but I think that's true with the expectation of visually seeing someone with a Purple Heart pin in their chest. There is that connotation or that understanding that they stood in front of an enemy and was wounded, physical injury sustained from that encounter. What I'm seeing is I think everyone agrees throughout, and I've spent a lot of time with some of our highest leaders, not just within the military, but some of our cabinets in the and on the Hill in Congress, we recognize the fact that PTSD is real. And we recognize it in policy. In fact, there's been extremely in-depth, comprehensive studies, for instance, from RAND and many other think tanks that are phenomenal in trying to capture the reality that this is real in this current war, that we're seeing a unique psychology coming out of this war because for the first time we're having an all-volunteer force, like Jason said, that is having to go back, not just close the chapter once, but have to reopen, regroup, go back into a combat zone, reintegrate back into society, and with a short dwell time, go back in, and that's unheard of. That's never happened in this country, and that has a different effect psychologically on the body than others. But I have to go back and say, I think it's hard to pinpoint what is, you know, the intent of the Purple Heart. You could go to combat, and just the fact that you're away from your family for a year, not be able to deal with it. Should that be awarded the Purple Heart? I don't think so. I think to preserve the original intent is to stand before a hostile encounter and walk away from it in a manner that you should have died, but you got wounded in the consequences of it. Yeah. I think that's the differentiation here between who should be awarded that and who should not.
Darren, thanks very much for the call.
Yes, thanks for having me.
We're talking about PTSD and the Purple Heart. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we wanted to get, we're getting a lot of phone calls from people, and we're not going to get a chance to get to all of them. And we thank you all who've written in and emailed us and called us and gone on our website. But this from Brian via email. As a medical resident, I do my outpatient clinic at the VA. Almost all of my regular patients who have seen combat have PTSD. Despite my attempts, I've been unsuccessful to convince any of them to get treatment, largely due to the stigma around having any psychiatric diagnosis. These vets turn to drugs, alcohol, or both to deal with their problems, which lead to another set of health problems. Recognizing PTSD as a Purple Heart worthy will decrease the stigma, increase the use of counseling and recovery resources, and save us all money and personal heartache in the long run. Now, let's see, we get one more caller in on the conversation. This is Justin. Justin with us from San Antonio.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Justin. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, my comment was in reference to the original definition of the Purple Heart. And, you know, has that been revised or looked at as modern warfare has changed? You know, with the multiple deployments and kind of indirect injuries, you know, I was wondering if some of the guest speakers could comment it.
Well,
on that.
Jason Forrester, is it still the definition that was defined by Douglas MacArthur?
Well, as you've pointed out, Neil, the qualifications for earning a Purple Heart have changed over time. I would put that on I would describe that as the evolution of the Purple Heart track. On the other track, I would put understanding of the psychological wounds of war. There are things that are happening that I predict will lead to this becoming less contentious discussion in the years to come. For instance, it was the U.S. Congress that about a year ago, through legislation, said that if you have a psychological wound of war, you deserve a 50% disability rating. If you get a 30% disability rating when you're discharged from the military, you get lifetime medical coverage through the Army's, through the military's TRICARE system. So that's a hint that the Congress sees these wounds as marked great wounds of war that deserve that form of lifetime treatment. Once again, back to what Secretary Gates said around a year ago when he was at Fort Bliss. Why did he open this discussion? He could have easily quashed this discussion with a single no as an answer to the question of, do you think this deserves the Purple Heart, this being the psychological wounds of war. He didn't say that. He opened up the possibility. So I see that, among other things, as moving us toward the understanding.
So you think this conversation is not closed?
No, I don't think it's closed. And I think also I would respectfully say that any decisions made by the Bush administration Pentagon could easily be reviewed by an Obama administration Pentagon and will be in many, many cases.
Same man in charge, though. Briefly, DJ Skelton, we just have a few seconds left, but do you think this ought to be an open discussion?
I think it should be an open discussion, especially since we have so many new people in leadership not just in the executive branch, but also in Congress and the military. But one quick thing, we keep mentioning Fort Bliss. Fort Bliss is a phenomenal example of the only inpatient active duty for those that have been diagnosed with PTSD, and we established it 2 years ago, and it's a 30-bed inpatient, and it's
out of time. I'm sorry. We have got to go. Justin, thank you very much for the call. DJ Skelton, thank you for being with us. Also, Jason Forrester, PTSD and the Purple Heart. This is NPR News.